Hey there, Lions fans. Randy and Rich coming here from the front yard of the M66 North Detroit Lions podcast studio. Hanging Christmas lights and getting all cold because we lost a half hour of podcasting for whatever reason. It shut off on us and poof.
Yeah, well, to err is human. To really foul things up requires a computer, and I guess that's what that thing is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a phone. Technically, it could be called a computer.
It'd be nice to be able to upgrade some of this equipment and do it the right way, but,
you know. Internet would be nice.
This is what we got, so this is what we do, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes we're simple. And if it goes out on us again...
Yeah, we'll probably do it.
Forget it. Forget it. No, at least for now. Like I asked you already once tonight.
Well, you asked me a bunch of stuff tonight already, now I got to figure out what my answers are again.
Yes, the first one was, do you like your lion poached or boiled?
Oh.
Yeah, because I didn't ask you that last week.
I like it both ways. Just get Tim Boyle off our freaking roster. You know, I'm glad he's on Chicago's side now. Tell him all you know there, Tim, because I really don't think it's a whole bunch. You know?
Yeah. And then they brought on Mr. Dobbs.
Yeah, we got a new quarterback on the practice squad. What the heck is his name? I don't have it on that page. I have it.
Not Romeo.
No, it's Joshua.
Joshua.
Quarterback, Joshua Dobbs. So we got a new quarterback on the practice squad. Replaced Tim Boyle. Hip, hip.
Good for both of them.
Yeah.
Finally, Randy is rid of
Tim Boyle.
Tim Boyle.
Yeah.
Never to be spoken of again.
That's too bad they couldn't bring back David Blau, but he's over there in Minnesota, so backing up Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, we're going to see them this week, huh?
Yeah.
For a second time.
Yeah.
Try and split.
Yeah, this is a must win. That way I see it. You know, it's like we said before.
It's been said.
Minnesota is, the probably going to win the division, and that is our next game. But, with Minnesota coming into Detroit playing like they are, I guess Vegas thinks that Detroit is the favorite team by 2.5 points.
Shoot, if I had gotten in on the plus one when I had a chance, next week's paycheck, so I'd put that on the line. Ooh, that'll boost some numbers. Vegas say, hey, this guy's betting on the Lions. We better push it to,
Lions -2. I think there's a lot more Lions fans out there now than there was beginning of the season. And I think a lot of reason is because of how Dan Campbell's been able to take a 1-6 start and turn it around into a, 5-7 team and have all this talk about playoffs, they're in the equation, they've got a pretty good shot.
Even say the playoff meme right now, because it is a shot.
It is, but they still have to win out to do it. And it starts with Minnesota. The last time we played Minnesota was...
One in a row. Just keep winning one in a row.
Yeah. Just keep those one in a rows piling up.
Yeah, because technically, if the Lions win out and the Vikings lose out, Lions could potentially win the division. Because
I don't see that happening.
The Vikings have not clinched the division yet. And we're the only ones in striking distance. No one's crossing lines to come conquer our division and conquer the Vikings.
Yeah, but, like I said, if the Lions are going to have any chance at that wild card spot, it starts with beating Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they were close last time, right?
Yeah, they lost by 4 points on the road, and they didn't have a lot of key players.
They broke down in the last 3 minutes with 2 minutes and 40 seconds, or something like that.
Yeah, something. They could have blamed it on a lot of things, but, you know, it was still a loss.
Couldn't go for a field goal because they had no kicker at the time. And so, and they didn't punt for whatever god-awful reason. And
well, that's back when Dan Campbell was still trying to figure out what it was to be an NFL coach, you know.
Yeah.
And he was still feeling his oats, more or less, you know. And you know, yeah, and more or less, he got humbled, you know, because he's doing it the right way now.
And I was writing it off as what the hell, you know. Do it now, because you're probably not going to want to do it next year at this time of the year. You know, you're going to be better at this in the third game of the season next year.
No, big time.
You know, so you're not going to need to go for it in the third game of the season next year.
We're going to have a little harder schedule next year, even though, you know, this was a hard schedule. Yeah. It started off kind of weak, but then it ended up being a tough schedule. And Detroit's like, you know, they got 5 wins, you know, with five games left to go, you know.
Yeah.
And they got a really good shot at getting 10 wins, you know.
Because technically the last time we played Minnesota, you could have marched the ball down the field, you know, and drawn the clock out, and they still would have gone down the field and scored against you either way.
Yeah, our secondary was very bad at that point in time. Yeah,
because they were giving up yards like nothing at the end of the game. Like,
yeah. I don't think Kakuta was back yet.
Right.
And, yeah, that was when we found out that Imani Warrior kind of sucked. You know?
That was kind of the start of it. Yeah. But they had a great game up until then.
Yeah.
And they just got torched.
When shit fell in the pot, and that was that. You know,
it was the start of a certain coordinator, assistant coordinator, whatever he was.
Oh, you mean Aubrey Pleasant?
I wasn't going to name names.
Oh, yeah. You mean the DB's coach that got fired?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was right around the time that thing started crumbling.
Right, you know, and you kind of got it. Like I said, we wouldn't really want to name names, but we did name names. But, you know, do you really think Aubrey Pleasant was the problem? It's hard to say.
I can't say, you know, because
to me, it's just kind of looking like it. I get that, and that's as far as I can go.
Looking, yeah.
It's looking like it, you know.
But at the end of the next four games, you know, Seattle, New England, Dallas, Miami,
et cetera, et cetera.
They got healthier, you know, and so there was a. And now we're winning. You know, they're winning.
We went through a phase in the middle of the season where everybody was hurt, and then they all started coming back, and now we're winning again, and we even still got more people coming back yet. Yeah. So, you know, to me, going into this so-called playoff or this last third of the season.
Yeah, we just started it.
Yeah, you know, this is they're going into it. Fairly healthy,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, here we go, you know. So there really isn't any excuses for losing these games, next five games. They're really, well, you know, maybe Minnesota, you know. The Jets are going to be tough, but they're not going to be, you know, anything tougher than what the Giants were, you know.
Well, you know, that's weird, right? You know, you remember at the beginning of the season when the Lions were losing, everyone screaming about how solid and the Jets were doing so well.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
the Jets went right in the toilet.
Yeah, they did lose their star running back to an ACL, but their star corner, Sauce Gardner, is still there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just was such a weird thing with that, you know, and so, I don't know, the Jets and being so good and then not, right? So, and what you want is consistency, right? And the Lions are starting to be, it feels like,
they're starting to find that consistency,
right?
And kudos, Rich, that's a good point. You know, because that's always been the problem with Detroit. You know, there's been so sporadic, you know, and I call it the third, like, you know, the third quarter blues, where, you know, they play a first half, you know, they come out good, they did good in the first quarter, they're holding tough in the second, and then they go into halftime and they come out and it's like, you know, the other team scores two touchdowns and here you can barely muster 10 yards after, you know, three and outs, you know. It's like,
yeah.
And that's what seems to happen with Detroit, you know. But this past game, these last two games, I mean, you know, even with the Bills being a loss, they came out and they fucking played, you know.
Yeah. Well, we all had it as a loss, assuming, you know, we all figured we'd be losing on Thanksgiving Day. Yeah,
now they didn't think they was going to lose by only 3 points and, you know, and actually lead, you know.
The Bills wouldn't score 35.
Right,
know?
Yeah.
I expected a 35, you know, back in August. I was like, okay, you know, we might score 32, but they're going to score 35.
Honestly, I always think the Bills were going to blow the Lions right off the face of the planet, and I think that's exactly what everybody on the earth was thinking was going to actually happen.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
By Thanksgiving, by the Monday before, people were on board more than in August, right? But, like, they are winning people over, you know.
Oh yeah, like I said before,
they're 4 or 5 at this point, you know.
Like I said before, there's more Detroit Lions fans now than there was at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and you did say it.
Yeah,
our
several
listeners
times.
Just don't know it. You said it about probably 45 minutes ago.
Yeah. Okay. You know.
Yeah. You know? If the other one ever shows up, we'll release that too, and you all can compare.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
nah, we ain't.
If you're that into it, I don't know.
No, yeah. Hey, but did you know that the power rankings came out today? I think it was actually yesterday.
I did know.
And
today would be the day that those came out, but I, you know, when I left work, I said, have a good weekend. So,
yeah, right.
You know, things aren't really gelling right.
Well, I tell you what, the biggest jump, you know, was the Monday morning quarterback. They jumped from number 26 to number 20. But the Athletics got them ranked the highest at 15, which...
nice.
Yeah, and they jumped... They
subscription
jumped
them, only, of course.
Yeah, and they jumped them...
So where'd you get that information?
I got this from Sports Talk Detroit.
Hey, good for them. Okay.
Yeah, this guy's pretty cool. I like him. And he comes on and talks about this kind of stuff. And, you know, and his question was, you know, is this a fair? You know, the Athletics got Detroit at number 50, at ranking in the power rankings at 15. Yahoo's got them at 16. NFL.com's got them at 17. The Ringer and USA Today, they got them both at 18. And CBS Sports and ESPN's got them at 19. And then Monday Morning Quarterback at 20. And Sporting News at 22, you know, and yeah, exactly, you know, and to be honest with you, I think, you know, just because, you know, the Athletics, the highest one is the Athletic at 15, so basically, automatically, you just throw that one out. And so I think on average, they're right. You know, they're 15, 16, 17, 18 is right where Detroit belongs at this point in the game.
Yeah.
If they beat Minnesota.
If I was going to pay for info, I'd pay the Athletic.
Yeah, well, if they beat Minnesota, it's going to go right through the roof. You know, and that's no doubt. Okay.
Yeah.
But this week, I think it's about right. And that was his question. Is this fair place for Detroit to be in the power rankings going into this game against Minnesota?
Anywhere in the 20 to 25, I'd say it's fine.
Yeah, see, I don't think 25 is fair.
Yeah,
I don't.
That's low, but
yeah,
I get it. You know?
I kind of think 22 is a little low, but I understand that. I think, you know,
18, 15, that's a little high.
That's why I say that, you know, on an average, you throw out the high one, you throw out the low one. So, that would put them, you know, as far as I'm concerned, 16, 17, 18 is about where they belong, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I could probably be, I guess if you're thinking more offensively.
No, just as a team.
Right.
You know, that's an overall team. It's a power ranking. How powerful is your team?
If you're thinking just offensively, maybe that tips the scales. Because they are doing some outlandish things offensively. Even though they were losing in the first half of the season, they were still, scoring 35, 36, 24, 45.
Right, but Detroit was in the bottom five to start the season.
Power rankings.
The power rankings. Now they're moved up to, basically midway,
Yeah.
And
that's the defense.
Still got the half.
That brought them up.
The last third of the season to go.
Yeah.
So, if Detroit can win out in these last five games, that's going to, shoot them right up through. If they beat Minnesota, that's going to shoot them up through the roof.
Yeah, we talked about the... In the Erased podcast, we talked about, Vegas and
The line and all that,
and how they started at plus one. I think we mentioned it earlier now.
You said if you had the bet, they had the plus one,
but so it's almost like Lions minus two, one and a half. I don't know what it is.
It's at two and a half right
now.
Two and a half right now,
They say that money moves. Numbers
right.
in Vegas, right? But is it just the money or is it actual data? Which one is it?
I think it has to be a little bit of both. I mean, because, when you're making a bet, you're guessing, It isn't necessarily anything that, is scientific about it, You either know which team's going to win or you don't, and you're either going to pick the right team or you're not,
I'm sure there's
a lot of different ways you can bet as far as, odds and percentages and all the, split or whatever the fuck that is. But, just coming right down to it, the Detroit Lions has cost Vegas a lot of freaking money in the last This last
season in two thirds.
Actually, part of going back part of last season.
Yeah, at least a full season.
Right.
Now,
yeah, they made some of it back in the first part of this season, but
even then, Lions were beating the spread in a loss.
Oh, that's true. We had a lot of losses, but by very few points.
Yeah.
And still we don't talk about the New England game.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
But we also don't talk about the Seattle game that we lost by 3 points.
Which was a 40-point game,
And it's hard to see past the big donut,
Yeah, we don't look
to the hill that was Miami and Dallas. But it's interesting how the defense now has come around, and that's really things are at.
And that's why I keep expressing it. Not only is the Minnesota game, a very important game to win, but the next one is too. And that's be the Jets on the road. And, it's the Jets, we've talked about this too. They are not the team they were at the beginning of the season either. And I'm not really sure if that's a good thing or what, because they keep sliding, they'll get some traction and they'll do some good things and then they'll slide, and hurt themselves,
Yeah.
But that
feels more like last year than this year.
Right. But that I'm talking about the Jets, the Jets, that's what they seem to be. Like as they go really good for a little bit, they get some traction and then they spin out, burn, and crash,
No consistency there.
Yeah, exactly. So but, it kind of, yeah. But the it's that.
And that's offensively, not Mac Jones, but the Wilson, Zach Wilson, I think is their quarterback.
Oh yeah, right?
A guy that our friend Tom was not impressed with, you know.
Right. But, you know, even though the Jets are an inconsistent team, it's that inconsistency that you worry about because you're really not sure which team is going to show up.
Right.
You know, is it going to be the good Jets or is it going to be the bad Jets?
And,
you know?
Exactly. And that is what was more last year with the Lions than this year with the Lions.
Well, it's in the second half of this year. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, in the form of wins and losses, but statistically wise, we are a top-rated offense. The Lions are top-rated offense.
They're doing have done historical things for this franchise. Season.
Yeah, yeah, and in the NFL. I mean, I believe Detroit leads the NFL with 6 games of 30 points or more. I don't think there's another team. Is it 30 or 40? I think it's 30. They got six wins over 30, right? Is that what it is?
Well, they have six games over 30. They're not wins.
Three. Right. That's what it is. Yeah.
I can't believe
where they
that.
Scored. 6 games. They lead with 6 games.
Wow. With only.
I think that's what it was. They said it during the game.
No one scored.
No team has had 6 wins of 30 points.
We don't have 6 wins.
Or six games. Just 6 games of 30 points or more.
That's incredible. I would think the greatest show on turf had that.
I would think so too. But apparently, they said it right on the TV, you know. So, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you know, that lets you know which direction this team is going. It lets you know that Campbell is building something special.
They only gave up 4 games on defense of over 30 points. I would think there's probably more teams out there that have given up more than 4 losses by 30 points.
Well, yeah, probably. You know, but
given the fact that we've won.
That's not the point, though.
it's an accident, right?
Well, I guess.
Yeah, you know. Because that's allowing us, the Lions, to win games now.
As long as we don't have to start a game with Awosika on one side and Stenberg on the other, we'll be fine on offense.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I look at it.
But even that wasn't horrendous. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
That's because Nelson come back and played that extra blocker.
It's amazing what that guy can do.
Tell you, there's a reason I bought that guy's jersey. Everybody understands that.
Number
6'7". You know?
Yeah.
Those specialty players are, you know, yeah, they're special, all right, you know.
Yeah.
Kabin is another one, you know. I'm probably going to need a Kabinda jersey.
You need a third one right in the middle.
Kabinda, that'd be the good one. That's the one I wanted.
Yeah.
It's Kabinda's spot.
We won't talk about Crosby.
I don't want to talk about Crosby.
Yeah. But,
we're just going to leave that for nostalgia, I guess. You know.
Yeah, Kabinda would look.
But you can buy Crosby's jersey for $25 now, you know, so.
$25 on a song. But the difference between Skipper and Nelson in that role has been interesting. I mean, they use him in different ways a bit.
Well, the Skipper's 6'9".
Right. He can't do what Nelson does.
Yeah,
it's interesting
been Danny's problem right on along. He's always been
both effective.
Too tall, like Stenberg, too tall. He doesn't bend the right way, you know?
How could he, you know?
Yeah.
But he does great.
Skipper's great guard. I like Skipper out there at guard when, you know.
Yeah, and when he gets moving and they got him in motion, that's awesome. I love seeing that.
Yeah, and Stenberg's good at pulling too. That's what he does. He's a pulling guard, you know.
Yeah.
Not so much a pass blocker.
Well, either is Sewell, and he's not been doing great against the pass.
They're on
different levels of bad, of course.
Right, but you know. Sewell would be doing a whole hell of a lot better if he had Vitae back in there. If Big Hal was there, Sewell would be having a Pro Bowl here. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you go from game to game and not going to know who you're playing next to, is it Skipper? Is it Stenberg?
Brown, Skipper.
You know, and
that's the thing, yeah.
Or is it Kramer? You know, Kramer's supposed to come back. Is he still on IR though?
He is. Yeah, you know, so they talk about it.
Well, they said Cephas was in practice today, but he's still showing up on IR too. You know, so
Kramer's definitely still on IR. He's not practicing or anything.
Yeah, that's so sad because I always liked Tommy Kramer. I thought maybe he'd be a jersey I'd want too. So,
hey, go for it, man. Maybe that'll bring him.
Oh, I want Tom Kennedy's jersey.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Tom Kennedy fan. Oh, my God. Ever since they picked him up.
Since Tom Kennedy was in the world.
5 years ago, I think it was, when he came to the team. I think he's in his fifth or sixth year. I'm definitely a Tom Kennedy fan. And, yeah, one day maybe I get his jersey too.
Yes, sir.
Yep-er.
Yeah. But, yeah, it really is amazing what the offense has done this year. With God, you know, usually when you see these numbers, even though they were losses, you know, 35 points, 24, 45 points, you know.
Right.
You expect a win, you know, and then you start hearing after, you know, 6, 7, 8, and 10 weeks here, you know, we got to 10, we're close. Yeah, oh yeah, we're in 14. That the Lions are doing crazy things and I'm like, man, you know, why don't they have more wins? and why doesn't it doesn't show up like the greatest show on turf, you know, where right. You got 5,000 yards passing or whatever the hell, and you know, it's more ground game, it's clock control, and but there's multiple 30 point games up there.
Yeah, you also got to remember that
I love it.
That Detroit is probably what it's the, not like the a second Steelers youngest
Browns game that's 10-9. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so, and getting back to what I was thinking here. Thanks.
I thought moving it along.
Yeah. You
know,
well,
that's because what I was getting at, you know, just going back to last year and this year, the way that the first half and the second half of the seasons have worked in our favor. Well, the second half has worked in our favor, and not so much the first half. And it's not just the team. It's strength of schedule. You go into the season with an easy strength of schedule, and then you get halfway through the season, and they say, "Oh well, the Lions had the hardest schedule first 8 games, and they only won one game."
Well, geez, I wonder why that is.
But the next 10 games or whatever the hell, you know, they have the easiest schedule, and then they go with, you know, win 4 or 5 and call it good. And then the next year, it's the same thing. You know, we got to get out of that kind of cycle.
Well,
it feels like they are getting out of that
cycle. Well, they're, you know, and I think a lot of it has to do with the refs finally giving them a break on penalties. I mean, you know, if you look at this past game, you know, I only think we had 3 freaking penalties the whole freaking game. It was less than 5. You know, how many times have we, you know, come here on a podcast, sit here, and just completely and totally bitch about penalties? Just this ungodly amount of penalties where you're getting over 100 yards in the opposite direction. You know, you can't win football games like that.
We used to have a couple seasons ago, a segment called Randy's Stupid Penalties. And we'd start the podcast off with that, you know, and just rant on that for a little bit. And
penalties, you know.
But that's always said, sloppy teams get called.
And this
is not a sloppy team.
Well, no, they're a young team, and they haven't gelled on everything, which, you know, when you have a team that young. Cool. And you have a team that young, it doesn't matter how old your coach is, they're going to make stupid rookie mistakes, and they're going to do it time and time again and over again until they get it, you know, until they don't. And it's, and it usually takes a while, you know. And here we are, you know, a whole season and a half, well, and two-thirds, a whole season and two-thirds, you know, and it's starting to come together. You know, it's like, you know, we argued about Slay when he came in the year. When did he start playing good, you know? Because that first year and a half. That was
before podcasting.
Yeah, that first year and a half, he was an absolute dumpster fire, you know? And then he started getting his interceptions, and he started going good. And then he started listening to all the other – and anyway, he's where he should be, and – and yeah, he's not here. It's just good.
Going to have a shiny ring this time next year.
But if, still, the thing was,
go well.
The thing was, is we watched him develop. And that's what we're doing now with this very young team. Like I said, they are the second or the third youngest team in the whole entire NFL. You know, yeah. And it takes a lot to put those young minds, or as Todd calls them, young fire pissers. It takes a while to bring those guys together and get them to play together as a team. You know, that's why I keep talking about gelling, you know, and just gelling together as a team and playing, you know, as a team. And this win against Jacksonville to me was the best game all around so far this year. This was, to me, the best game.
You know what I expected the coach to say in his post-game locker room? He said, you know, this is the best game y'all played, right? But I had expected him to say, this is the best game y'all played since the last time I told you this is the best game y'all played. Because he said that against the Giants, you know, I believe. It's the most complete game, you know, that kind of speech.
Well, you
know.
Got to. I mean, if it was, it'll be noticeable. You can come right out and say that without having to go back and look at the tape, you know?
31-18, 40-14. I mean, that's...
That's good defense.
Yeah.
Even though what I see on our defense is we give up a lot between the 30s. You know, a lot between the 30s. It's like that keep... Oh, way to go, Rich.
I really should have opened that.
That is... Don't put it on the carpet. That's alcohol abuse. That is alcohol abuse.
You saw it. I did not shake that beer up.
Yeah.
I even tapped it before I opened it.
That's all right. You got a sticky spot to clean up.
My only regret is that I didn't hold it above your head before I opened it.
You know who had a hell of a game in this defense? You know who is really starting to come on really strong in this defense? A guy that I really didn't think was even actually coming back this year? Andy Alex Anzalone.
Mr. Anzalone.
That guy is playing lights out football. He's playing way above his pay grade. Well, I know about his pay grade, but he's playing about what we thought was his talent heights, you know. His talent, he's playing above his talent level. He really, truly is.
And he's playing way better than when I saw him in New Orleans. And I thought he was good in New Orleans. And when he got here, I didn't think he was playing that well. But now you're saying he is
gel. Everything is gelling, you know. Alex, they invited him back to be a leader on the defense because I really don't think they expected Brockers to be on the field that much, and so far that's been the truth too.
Well, you know what I think that's an interesting point to call it. Brockers, the current Brockers situation as an expectation, right?
Right.
That's interesting.
I can comment more on Brockers.
I haven't heard it called an expectation.
No, but I really don't believe that he'll be on our 53 next year.
No, I mean, there's people out there saying that, right? Here I am wiping up the floor. Yeah, you know, there's people out there saying, yeah, Brockers is gone next year. But right. no one's saying that the front office and the coach expected it to happen that soon.
Well, this is the way I see it, okay? You know, Michael Brockers is going to be 30 years old this year, you know? And he's got some bad knees. He's got some things going on, you know? He didn't play most of this year at all, hardly at all, you know? He did get a few snaps here, a few snaps there.
For weeks. And he's a coach on the bench.
Right. And if you remember right, last year, this basically the same thing happened with a kid named Sean Dion Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was here. They loved him. They just everything was so good about him. And then he got hurt. And then he came back. And then... I think he got hurt again. I don't know, but, you know, he came to training camp, and then he got released, and then he retired from football, and you didn't hear a damn thing about it. But then here just a short while ago, I was looking through the coaching members of the Lions coaching staff, and here's Sean Dion Hamilton as one of the William Clay Ford intern coaching guys. So and I could see the same thing like that, you know, that happened to Sean Dion Hamilton, who was part of the coaching staff on Detroit Lions. I could see that same thing happening next year with Brockers. I mean, if he decides that, you know, he's hurt beyond playing a full season, you know, if he decides to retire, I could very easily see that happening.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where he's got his family, if they're, you know, in L.A. or his hometown, or if he has them, if everybody's here in Detroit, you know.
Or he's got three places.
You know? Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows?
But I could very easily see Michael Brockers being a part of this team next year, but not necessarily on the 53, but, you know, as a member of the coaching staff.
Yeah, right.
No, but, you know, that's me.
Could happen.
No. That's me. You know,
it's a good point, too. You know, you're saving a lot of money there by getting rid of them, you know. And that will allow you to spend some money on bringing someone in to replace
them. All right. Well, look what we've done so far with our coaching on our defense, you know. The linebackers coach, Mark DeLeon, came to us, and they let him go.
Well, okay, yeah, you sure did.
Yeah, and now
under cloak and dagger and dark of night.
yeah. So now we've got. Who is it? Linebackers coach.
Shep.
Yeah, Shep. Okay. Yeah, but he's the outside linebackers coach. We also have an inside linebackers coach. But our linebacking core as a whole, since DeLeon has left, has improved dramatically.
Sure, yeah.
It sure has. You know?
Well, and was that wasn't even this season, right? That was last season.
Exactly, right? Yeah. But, you know, that's Shep took over, and then you know, he's got his assistant there, too.
The personnel hasn't changed all that much from last year, except for Rodrigo.
Yeah, so you know, to me, that's a good part there. But then if you move down to the defensive backs, you know, and Aubrey Pleasant got fired, so you know, and they've made
progress.
Yeah, well, they've made promotions from there with the new guy, Brian Duker.
Yep.
You know. And you see what our defense has done from that coalition, you know.
They got healthy, and you know, and they seem to be playing a completely, you know, different style of football every week.
Right, you know, and it's like
great.
You don't necessarily want to say, you know, names as far as Aubrey Pleasant is concerned. But, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, was he really that much of a problem? I mean, you know, is he the reason why this defense played like it did in the beginning of the season? I don't want to say it, but you kind of got to ask yourself if that, you know, if that's is actually the way it is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely coincides with the streaks of losing and the streak of winning.
Yeah, if your message
but so does the health of the team as well. You know, there are, you know, reasons for both sides, you know, both arguments.
Yeah.
I don't like to pin it on.
No, neither do I. And I'm not. I know Aubrey Pleasant is a damn good coach. I know, you know, he jumped right back on the wagon. He got Green Bay picked him up.
Yes. Yep.
So, but
it's like, you know, as far as the players, Oru Warrior is still Oru Warrior.
Yeah. I don't suspect that he will be. I suspect Imani will be here for training camp, but I don't know if he's actually going to make the 53 next year.
You know? Well, if he's under contract, he will. And I think he's still under contract.
Is he?
I believe so. I think he's got one more.
All right. Okay.
So,
you know,
but yeah.
You know, Tom says that Harris might be the only one that signed back. Will Harris, you know?
I mean, anything goes at this point.
I think, you know, I think they signed back more than just Harris on this defense.
Oru Warrior is in a contract year. Is this a contract
year? I don't know. I don't know if they gave I don't think they gave Imani Awarie anything more than a 1-year contract. No, unless he was still on his rookie year.
Yeah, that's the rookie thing, and it's not a 5th-year deal.
No, so, because he wasn't a first-round draft pick.
5th-rounder or so.
Yeah.
Gosh, yeah.
You know, so he must be. I think he might be a free agent after this year. I don't know. We'll have to double-check that, you know.
Maybe we'll do that next week.
Yeah. But, you know, with all the new guys on here, I can see him bringing back Elliott and the safety Elliott.
Oh, that play he had against.
Yeah, that kid is coming.
Forced fumble to tackle it.
He is coming into it. We need to keep him on the team. So I think they signed him.
We haven't even really, talked about the Jaguars game, you know. Well, we got time.
It was a win, you know. Your boy there, Houston, got another sack.
He got a sack, yeah.
Yeah, and Hutchinson got a half sack with Bugs. I think it was Bugs. Benito Jones.
Yeah. Joseph led the team in tackles again.
That's where you people didn't... You got to keep that in mind too. Aaron Glenn always said that, you know, this defense, it isn't set up for the linebackers to be your heroes. You know, it's set up for your safeties to be the heroes. These are the guys that are supposed to get all the tackles. You know, that's what makes this defense a little bit more different than everything else, because they're not. It's not a linebacker concentrated defense. It's the safeties. Yeah. And that's to me is a little different, you know. But then again, that's why they can two safeties out or take two linebackers out, bring in two safeties, you know.
Yeah. They had to overhaul the whole team from what Patricia was doing.
Oh yeah, big time.
And the people that Patricia was given to do it with. We all know that. Those two things
line. Bob Quinn built a good offensive line for Patricia.
Well, no, I don't think Patricia was even using the offensive line.
Right. Well, they wasn't doing it right. What Patricia was doing is totally different than what Bob Quinn was doing. Those two guys were not on the same page. Line. They were not on the same page.
Yeah, not doing...
Yeah,
neither
one was doing either one any favors. That's for damn sure.
Yeah,
another guy had a good game. Kaminsky batted down a pass, forced fourth down. I think it did even too. But Barnes is becoming a freak out there. I'm loving it. Slowly but surely, a lot of pressures. You know, he had a batted ball too. I believe batted down pass. Maybe that was the game before. It was Buffalo, wasn't it?
You know, this time of year, it always happens to me where the Thanksgiving game and the game after it just kind of blend together. it's weird as a Lions fan.
Oh, I hear you.
It's hard to separate. I don't know why. Wait, was that this one or that one?
You know what play that I like? The one play that I like was where they handed off to Kapinda going right straight up the middle and for a first down, 4 yards and a first down. That was I like to see that. I've been waiting for that. Kapinda can hung on to the ball this time too. So
they've used him in the passing game and getting out there, and even if it's it's not a target, he's still out there doing it. So.
I'd like that too. Mike Hughes, what can you say? He's been there, He really has.
Yeah. Jacobs. Special teams.
Jacobs went down. He got hurt a little bit there on that one play.
He was all right, though.
Yeah.
He came back, right? I think. Doesn't seem like there's any crazy injuries after this game either, so.
Paschal must be hurt. He was only, one tackle this week?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I don't know if he's hurt or
or anything. Yeah.
I mean, he's coming off an injury, right?
So. Right. Yeah, well, our kicker was right on this again this year. Or this week. He was perfect this game. So far, the only miss that he has since he's joined the team is that one against Buffalo early on.
Right.
On Thanksgiving Day,
would they sign him to a 1 year?
I would think,
Okay.
I would think. He's probably our guy for the rest of the year, and they'll probably draft somebody.
No, God.
Oh, I don't know.
Badgley was special teams player of the week this week.
Yeah, cool. They're going to still bring in competition.
For whatever reason. I don't know why.
And they're going to bring... Well, he hit everything. He hit everything.
Didn't seem like all that much.
Well, we scored 40 points. I think he hit 4 field goals, dude.
Did he really?
I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. 40 points. That's a lot of points. Yeah. Even added 5 extra points. They went for 2 once. Did they go for 2 once?
I think so. No, that was the other team. And they missed it.
Okay.
Or maybe Detroit did go for 2, or maybe that was Buffalo game.
Bills. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Mixing up Thanksgiving.
Right there we go. They kind of run together, Really hit on penalties. Okay, so Goff had an almost perfect game, and because the running game was working, play action was working.
Play action.
Well,
it's meant to work.
It's supposed to work that way. Goff had over 300 yards passing this week.
Whether you can run the ball or not.
Did we have 100 yards rushing between 3 guys?
I never added them up.
It's got to be damn awful close, because I know Jackson had a couple of really good runs, and Williams was tearing it up. He's got 14 freaking touchdowns so far this year.
Total yards from the running backs would be yes. If you include the passing out of the backfield.
I'm not including the passing out of the backfield. Right. I'm rushing yards is what I want to know.
Yeah, it's close, but
I'd say close to 100 yards. The closest to or over 100 yards rushing you can get, man, that makes play action work so much better. And it was doing very good this week. We had 3 running backs that racked up some yards.
Mm-hmm. Swift only had 20 some on the ground.
What's going on with that? I don't think.
They were useful yards. That's what's going on with it. I think it doesn't have to be 100 yards on his own.
We talked about it earlier where we kind of gave Swift a bunch of shit this year. And we have, and I still am, I can remember.
But I'm not.
Well, I am because, he started out the season a year rushing for 9.6 yards a carry. I think he had there, average for a while.
Yeah.
And then just fell right off the face of the planet. Are you hurting? Deuce Staley got pissed at them. You
know? There was an interesting thread there with that from going back to Hard Knocks in the offseason. But it just feels like we're at a completely different team right now than week 1 through 5.
Right.
You know.
Well, I just think that the bottom line is that Williams and Jackson are doing their jobs better than Swift is right now.
Well, I think his job, it has been shifted.
It's been flip-flop because Williams is more durable. Williams can carry the ball up the middle and not lose yardage and not get hurt, you know. You know, it's a 50-50 shot when Swift goes outside, you know. He's either going to get the corner or he's not, you know, and you know, a lot of times he don't, and it's a 4-yard loss.
I think that
happens inside the red zone.
Running back problems come from the play calls, and I think some of those play calls that we hate are purely to set up something else.
Yeah, and Todd and I talked about that.
The next quarter or two games from now.
Todd and I talked about that earlier, too. You know, it's like you kind of question some of the plays that Ben Johnson's calling. You know, well, what the hell did he do that for? Why did he call that play there? I mean, you know, come on, Ben, it's third down, you know. Yeah.
It's 40-14.
That's not my point. My point is that, you know, you kind of wonder if he's just being a rookie coach and, you know, not knowing that, you know, this is not the play to call here, or if he's just using this play to set up another play two plays down the line. Right. And that a lot of times seems to be the case, you know, because, you know, here you go, you're second down, you run, you get a half a yard. Okay, now it's third down and 9, you know, okay, and what happens? Amon-Ra St. Brown, 15 yards, first down, you know.
First down, St. Brown.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they try to run, and then if it don't work, that play action, because they think you're going to run again, is going to work because that's going to freeze that linebacker. Guys are going to come up instead of go back.
Yeah.
And it's that space between the safeties and the linebackers and where the corners are, that's all going to be wide open in there. And it is every freaking time, you know. And that's why they always say, you know, Goff has a higher percentage of completing his passes off play action than he does any other play in the playbook. You know, so when you have a run game like Detroit has had in these last few games, then your play action works best for Goff. I mean, because that's what Goff is. He is a play action passer. And he works better and best off of play action when it works.
The best thing for Goff is protection.
True.
That's the best thing. And I think this week, with the St. Brown getting 114 yards and Chark getting 98 on very few passes on his own there, Chark, that opens up the run game and the play action. The fact that you actually are connecting on a deep pass, a 41-yard pass to Chark, that hasn't really happened this season. It really hasn't happened.
It's happened twice so far.
Only twice.
Since he's been back.
Yeah, all of a sudden, here it is, you know. And that is reminiscent of the, you know, greatest show on turf.
Right, but you're seeing the same thing Josh Reynolds did when he came to us the first time. He stretched the field so it would give Amon-Ra and Cephas and all these other guys wide open, Raymond, all these guys a little bit more open spaces to run in.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not the Calvin Johnson Lions that's got you got one guy to rely on.
Right, exactly. You know, and he doesn't have to go up over three guys to catch the football, you know?
Yeah, he'd come down and break his finger again.
Yeah, or you know, Calvin needed to learn how to land a little softer than he always did.
Yeah. how do you land softly when you're that big? Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
And but, used you know, that still, many times and that often over that many years. And
He belongs in our Hall of Fame, you know? He really does, you know? Yeah. Do the Lions even have a Ring of Fame? Or
there's some sort of Ring of
Fame. Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool.
Yeah. It's, you know... But the possibilities are endless with this offense. And I don't think you can really give it enough kudos right now.
And you're absolutely right. There's just you know, and you got to give credit to the growth of Dan Campbell, because Dan Campbell started off being like, you know, what's this idiot doing out there? You know, everybody's going, is he really this guy? You know, and you know, of course we like him, we always have right from the start. So you know, but still, even you question yourself. No matter how much you like him, you kind of question, well, is this guy really an NFL coach? And then, bam, he just switched it all around, and he started listening to his advisor. I think, you know, the old guy from Cleveland there. What's his name? Yeah, I don't know. Dorsey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Dan actually started listening to him, you know, and... there's one thing that I noticed was in the NFL show there before the game, where Sean Payton is on the staff there with Jimmy and the boys, and I think he was the only one to pick the Lions to win.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, so
that might have been Thanksgiving. I don't remember.
I don't know, but I just those guys were really quiet after the game when the Lions won. You know, and Sean's going to say, yeah, I was kind of waiting for this game. You guys, you know, see how you guys react to it. They did not want to talk about it at all. They did not.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's a good sign for the Lions, you know, because they're proving the experts wrong, you know.
Dan Campbell did say he answered a question at the end of his little press conference, kind of saying that, wouldn't change anything really, you know, because I'm confident in who I am, what I do, and what I think, and I'm paraphrasing,
right,
and how I coach and the decisions I make, and I'm gonna take these decisions to my grave, of course, but I'm not gonna dwell on them,
right.
He can also say that those decisions brought us to a place where we're able to go.
Right, because
4-1.
Every rookie, no matter if you're a coach or player or what, you're gonna make these mistakes, and I'm really glad that Dan Campbell went and seen, you know, what it was like to go for it on fourth down and miserably fail, and then had critics come after you for that.
Yeah,
and I'm glad he went through that.
Yeah.
You know, and then same thing with every other failure that he had.
And
I'm glad he went through it, because this is how he learns.
Yeah.
You know, he's never done this before.
He's doing it with a team that it was supposed to lose, and he's not doing it next year.
Right.
And they're going to be that much better, this much better. Oh, you know.
Oh, they are going to be that much better next year. Oh, you freaking better believe next year is going to be.
I mean, we hoped.
Woo, woo! I'm getting on every freaking train there's available of that. Yeah. Hell yeah.
At the end of last season, we thought, okay, they're going to start off, you know, gangbusters. Well, that did not happen this year.
No, but I think next year it will. It could. That's good. I'm not going to say it will.
We got a lot of football left this year.
Well, we do.
We're draft.
First things first, we got to freaking take out Minnesota.
Don't know if there's going to be a quarterback in the draft or not.
Then the next thing we got to do is take out the Jets, and then it should be fairly free sailing from there, except we got to play in Lambeau. But I don't think there's going to be anything left of the Packers.
Yeah. It's just weird because this season, as far as the my projections and most people, or our projections really, you know, we had them at that 6-7 win mark, you know. And
6-7, 8-9.
We don't
nine,
really feel
maybe
that
10.
Far off from, or I don't feel that far off from the predictions I made. You know, Eagles a loss. Minnesota was splitting. Seattle,
exactly. You know, and that's exactly what I was trying to do. It's like, okay, I want to get a generalization of how many wins.
You get there, you know, to 10 wins is I'm just dumbfounded.
It's a bonus. That's what I kept saying. Yeah. You know, anything.
We'll see what happens next week. Until then, this has been the M66 North Detroit Lions podcast at Randy and Rich. Go watch for Deer Lion.
Oh, geez, Rich, you bless it.
I try.